Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Shad and I are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we're going to start off here recapping some of the recent jobs data. So on Friday, we had that pretty weak report when it comes to the jobs data. And, well, it was a big miss from estimates. And we also saw income or earnings rise a little bit. So that played a little bit more into that inflation trade. But then today, we're also seeing the report of job openings, and we're seeing another record amount of job openings. So the fact of the matter is, job openings continue to climb. We've read numerous articles about companies not being able to fill their positions, needing to offer bonuses, and that's still not being enough to get workers in the door and to actually retain workers. That's a whole other issue as well. Ed, what's your takeaway from what seems to be a strong labor market, but also a labor market that needs more people to take part in it?
Well, first, I definitely want to address that non-farm payroll report. I think it really provided a big shock for many investors. And I think the weak number really delivered a lot of meaningful uncertainty as far as when will the Fed taper. So I think that big miss, it really pretty much it wrote off September, made November less likely. And now you have the market thinking that if we do have a taper, it's going to be in December. And that is really, you know, showing how much this economy has been impacted by the Delta variant. And I think that, you know, these job openings, when you take a look at the July JOLTS jobs opening number, it is amazing that you have still over 10.9 million job openings. And that, I mean, when you consider we're still trying to fill 8.7 million job losses during that pandemic, we have a very large difference here where, you know, if you're unemployed, each American, they could have had 1.2 jobs if they wanted. But, you know, obviously, the wage increases are not happening enough. There are other factors impacting this. I think many households are dependent on taking care of their children right now as schools have not really returned to in person. So we're waiting to see exactly, you know, how does the September reopening of schools go? And is there confidence that schools will stay open? And if so, will we start to see more families be able to have the traditional both heads of households working? So I think you're in a period here where the Fed has got to be scratching their head because we have over 10.9 million jobs that were available, and it seems that they're still pretty far away from mission accomplished as far as hitting that further substantial progress that's needed for them to start to withdraw some accommodation. So I think right now you have a market that consistently just is looking to run higher because there's no doubt that in many traders' minds that we're still going to see a healthy amount of accommodation. And as far as interest rate hikes go, it looks like that's, you know, we got to get tapering done first. And I think, you know, expectations that we could see a hike at some point at the end of next year, I think that's starting to fade and into the distance. And I think, you know, 2023 might be when we get it done. But at that point, who knows where the economy will be standing.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, Ed, because just if we dial back the clock only a month or two, everybody was for sure that we were going to start tapering in September. And then, hey, they may move those rate hikes earlier. They're going to have to move into 2022. And now, just in the course of a month, everything's kind of gone off the rails. And the Fed is worried that the economy is slowing, that if companies have to raise their wages to attract new workers, that could affect sales. And so things are at this precarious point where everybody now has shifted completely the other side of the boat, that, hey, they're going to have to wait on tapering. They're going to have to push back those rate hikes. And I know people are fatigued on this topic, but everybody's looking at it. And it is one of the prime movers in the marketplace as far as what is the central bank going to do and what is their policy going to be. So isn't it interesting how quickly things have shifted from just 1 month ago? And what do you think that means moving forward? Could it shift back again just as quickly?
I think it could. And right now, I think what's going to be the thing that everyone's going to be looking at for the high frequency data is we we're having 8 million Americans that are going to lose those extra benefits this month. So that is probably going to incentivize many people to start to return to work. I think, you know, we had vaccine hesitation become a big concern here in the Americas, where, you know, I think I've been saying it seems like 1/3 of the population was unwilling to get vaccinated. Well, I think right now we've seen just yesterday they announced that I think 75% of adults that are eligible for vaccines have gotten at least the first dose. That is tremendous progress as far as getting people vaccinated, and that will, I think, really alleviate some fears. I think the big wild card is, and what we're hearing from virologists, doctors, they're all concerned. They're still concerned about Delta variant, because the Delta variant is going to evolve, and we're going to probably need to see our, you know, the current mRNA vaccines tweaked, and there might be some periods where we're dealing with months where we have uncertainty of whether or not we're going to have to kind of close down a little bit. So, you know, we have not gotten rid of COVID. COVID is still lingering, and there's still, with the current leaders in place, this call to exercise caution. And I think that is really kind of cementing the belief that it's going to be hard for the Fed to move. And I think, you know, tapering could have been started in March. Tapering, you know, the Fed's at, you know, at a point where they're risking a policy mistake here. But I think that they're, I think they'll, I think we're still going to see steady job hirings over these next few months. And I think as long as schools are somewhat successful, and there's a big debate as far as, you know, how to go about that. Some states are going to thrive. Some are going to struggle, but I think you're going to have that you know, hiring is still, you know, going to I think be a very volatile statistic. And I think, you know, the September, the you know, next month's report for the month of September, that's going to be a bad number. I think I'd be surprised if we had much job growth because of Hurricane Ida. So I think, you know, we're going to write off this next month, and then I think you're waiting for a snapback the following month. And, you know, that's why I'm in the camp that, yes, December is when we'll probably have things look a little bit more normal. And that should allow the Fed to move forward with tapering. And I think right now, you know, you can make the argument that they could still taper despite what we're seeing. And I think, yes, that argument could be made, but because of the communication from the Fed, they can't. or it seems unlikely. And I think also too, you're looking at a Fed Chair Powell that is trying to get renominated. I think some of his more recent dovishness, I think, was aiming to appease the Biden administration, even though they haven't been hard enough on the banks to appease the progressives. I think you're probably going to see Powell's going to stay on. I think, you know, we're going to probably, I think, still see investors are going to continue to look for more record highs. I think we had 54 record highs this year. Today will be the 212th day without a 5% pullback. So this market continues, just wants to, you know, go higher. I know today we're down 0.3% for the S&P 500. And there's just, everyone just wants to buy whatever dip we get, and that type of mentality can get dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see if there is another event that can trigger some stock market volatility here to the downside.
All right, so Ed, not to simplify it too much, but it sounds like more of the same for the markets. A lot of stuff on hold, still a lot of fears out there, but quite frankly, these markets, we can expect just a steady grind higher until maybe there is that black swan event or one of these major issues does take hold of the market. Until that happens, which is impossible to tell when, more of the same, more of this upward trend for markets then.
It seems so, but the risks are there. And I think you're going to see, because of how this market's positioned, I mean, we're going to hear from the Fed's Williams. He's the third most important Fed speaker. If we get more hawkish comments out of him, we have some key auctions coming up as well. If if we start to see the move in treasuries get exciting, if treasury yields, if the curve steepens a lot, that will unnerve some investors, and that will throw some cold water on this relentless winning streak for stocks. So I think there are a lot of different catalysts that we can look to. But, you know, just right now, it just seems everyone's too bullish. And I think financial conditions they're easy. When financial conditions tighten, then you know, you can have a sounder argument for a deeper pullback. But right now, you're not going to have many money managers that are going to be fearful of a major drawdown here in stocks.
Well, Ed, just as we wrap up, I know you follow the crypto markets pretty closely, and we've had some big news out recently with El Salvador accepting it as an official, you know, currency and payment method. We've had some battles with Coinbase and some of their regulations, and some of their holders of the stock as well. We've seen the price go up and hit that 50,000 in Bitcoin a few times. Ethereum's been moving. Then they've pulled back again. They seem to be in a range. Overall, what's your takeaway from the crypto markets these last couple of weeks?
You could just say the past few days, it's been chaotic. We've had a 17% plunge in Bitcoin. There was kind of a sell the event type reaction with the El Salvador news. There are many catalysts for why Bitcoin tanked, and in addition, everything else in the crypto world. I think there was heavy positioning leading up to it. We saw prices really extend and tentatively break past some key resistance levels, but it was a disappointing launch. So the people from El Salvador have not really rushed to sign up for their Chivo wallet. People were, you know, reporters were tracking, you know, how many people are going to these 200 Bitcoin ATMs, and it was really lackluster. Then they had issues with the app. And then in addition to that, you had a tremendous amount of froth when you consider there's, you know, we're in the middle of another NFT bubble. And you have so many different social media influencers that are trying to get involved in the space. Steph Curry, one of the best shooting point guards in basketball, tweeting that, I want to get involved in cryptos. You have Kim Kardashian tweeting about a certain cryptocurrency, which even drew the FCA to address some of the risks, specifically with the currencies that she was talking about. So I think there's a lot of froth. You have a new wave of investors that are going in there, and you had a lot of smart institutional money that just said, this is going to be an easy, peak here for cryptos, because you're having a disappointing launch in El Salvador, which is going to probably deter other countries into following suit and making Bitcoin legal tender. You had your typical reaction. Even a lot of the retail community was anticipating a sell-off, after the El Salvador big day, as far as making Bitcoin a part of their country. So I think you're having a market that is going to remain volatile, and there is still tremendous interest in Bitcoin, in blockchain, and a lot of these coins. But I mean, there several of the, you know, top cryptocurrency bets fell over 20% since the weekend. Some of that has been recovered, but I think you're going to have a market that is likely to remain very choppy here. And I think the next big event for crypto is the Fed. They're going to be releasing their paper on digital currencies, and that could contain some harsh regulation or guidelines for stablecoins. And stablecoins are used to buy Bitcoin, so don't think that really won't impact Bitcoin, because it won't directly, but you could see that definitely weigh on prices. So there's still this regulatory environment that we're still navigating, and I think the volatility is going to remain extremely elevated. Even, El Salvador's president noted that they bought the dip. They bought over 150 I think they had 400 Bitcoin, and then I think they bought another 150 roughly on that dip. So this is going to remain a roller coaster ride, and I think the long-term investors, the long-term bet still is for Bitcoin to appreciate from here. There's still this belief, and it's pretty wide, that we're going to have fresh record highs in the next 6 to 12 months. So I think it's going to be a choppy ride, but there's still a firm belief that fiat currencies are losing their luster, and central banks and governments are still going to be pumping cash into this economy. So demand is still growing here, and the space can grow much further.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. And I think the very ending there, you're right. The space can still grow a lot further, but you know what? It can also go through some major corrections. That's what we've seen over the relatively short time frame that cryptos have even been around and availably tradable. So it's a very interesting market to follow. And you know what? The use case for cryptos does continue to grow, but I don't even think it's about use case anymore. It's about the type of investors and just how many new investors the space can attract, much like any other market. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.